Well, now to our final traveller's tale for the year, and we're walking once more in Australia. Walking is a wonderful way, I think, to think through ideas and to meditate on the important questions of life. Perhaps in a way we can use the geographic compass to contemplate the ethical territory we've been discussing today. The Australian painter and writer Tom Carmont was persuaded by his friend, the photographer Michael Wee, to embark on some walks into wild Australia, either together, by themselves or with their families. And the resulting book is Seven Walks, Cape Leeuwin to Bundeena. It is absolutely beautiful, with photographs by Michael, drawings and detailed descriptions of the landscape by Tom, plus text by him. And I really congratulate him now as I welcome him to the studio. It's a beautiful book, Tom.
Oh, thank you very much, Geraldine.
I have to say, it's a book for people like me who know how to do a bit of walking, as it were, but are not a professional. I'm sort of not. Some of the books that come across my desk, I almost think you have to be, you know, you have to have been an environmentalist since you since you were young. So how would you position yourself in terms of being a walker?
Well, I've always loved walking in the bush, but I came at these longer walks quite late in life, post the age of 50, I think, really. Being a painter and being a plein air landscape painter, I've spent a lot of time in the bush, and I usually walk a few k's in or even half a k and sit down and do some painting, and then I walk back. And over the years, I've been on lots of day walks with my friends and family, lots of picnics to West Head and Royal National Park, and camping with my children. But to do a walk where I actually carried my tent and my food in and had to plan it like this was a new thing to me.
Yes, well, you sort of say, really, we're amateurs, Michael and I, which
true.
Is what I liked about it.
Bumbling amateurs, yes.
Let's talk about the visual elements of the book, given that you're a painter. Presumably, though, this is one of the intriguing things for you about nature, that nature isn't static, that the landscape is always changing, so your drawings will capture just a particular time and place of a location?
That's right. I think you have a window of about, you know, an hour or something when you're doing a plein air painting, because it is a situation in flux, and, you know, a goanna might walk past you, clouds move across the sky, shadows move, so you're capturing a moment in time. And the emotion you had when you first saw that thing, trying to capture that on paper as well.
Does walking give you a particular perspective on the bush? I mean, if you were just to sit and look, it's one thing, I suppose, but you're sort of walking through it, there's a progression?
I think walking puts you in a really quite a calm state of mind after a while, you know, especially if you're doing it for a couple of days. And so that's a good way to be able to perceive things and look at things in a fresh sort of way. And I think the slower you go, the more you see, is my theory, actually. So walking is the best way to see things, as opposed to looking out a train window or a car window or riding a bicycle even. The slower you go, the more little things you perceive.
Last year I did an interview with two people. Ivan Omani was one of them, who'd looked from the air at Australia, and they were breathtaking photos. This is almost the polar opposite of that. It's the detail.
Yes, I'm attracted to some quite small things. I think I left the spectacular in this book to Michael's photographs, so I was able to concentrate on less sublime aspects of the landscape, but equally beautiful, I think.
Which walk did you do first?
The Cradle Mountain walk in Tasmania, the Overland Track. I did that. We did that as a family. It was my partner Jan's idea, so I got to give her credit for the beginning of all this. And we went there and did the 6-day walk. We did it, the hard way, carrying our own food and tents.
Right. Yeah. So not guided. You didn't have
not guided. My daughter was 10 and my oldest son was 18 and my middle son was 16.
And you also did a 3-day walk in the Snowy Mountains in New South Wales. What was special about that landscape for you?
Well, it was actually so beautiful when we did it, because we were some of the first walkers through after the snow had started to melt. So there were still great big snowdrifts everywhere. So it looked like some sort of imaginary atlas, all these big white shapes everywhere. And we had to actually clamber across some of them. It was a bit scary at times because they were quite steeply sloped and we had our big packs on, and then the valley was a long way below. So that was a really nice aspect of doing it at that time of the year, although I'm not sure I'd recommend it.
Oh, really?
From the safety point of view.
It was, okay. It was tricky. And did you and Michael complete all 7 walks?
Yes, we did. I think I did 3 with Michael. He did them sometimes at different times from me, but we did all the 7 walks together, you know, at different times.
Tell us about the Cape to Cape track in Western Australia, which is my home state and which I'm determined to do, if certain legs anyway. I'm not quite sure I can do the whole lot.
Well, the Cape to Cape, probably people have asked me what my favourite walk was, and I have to say that must be really one of them, because I'm very attracted to that landscape. It's not especially spectacular in the sense of huge mountains, but the flora there is very beautiful. There's more varieties of banksias in that part of southwest Western Australia than any other part of Australia. And a lot of that walk is actually along sand, along beaches. So it's quite tiring in that sense. You're treading along the edge of the water, and then you loop up into the coastal heath. And when we did the walk, it was just after the big Gracetown fires, so we walked for nearly 2 days through a completely charred landscape at one stage.
It's harsh. Mm. One of the things I noticed when I came to live in the eastern states, as we call it, is the richness of the soil by comparison with the soil I grew up, which you can see the soil is poor. It's just incredibly eroded. It's tough soil. Yeah. Broke the hearts of a lot of people who tried to set up farming down there.
There's an interesting story about Bodin, who navigated that coast, Nicholas Bodin. He was very keen to meet the Aboriginal people there, and he saw an old man and a pregnant woman who both ran away, and they took their small boats ashore, and his gardener, who was called Riedle, I think, he planted all this fruit and vegetable seeds just beyond the sand dunes in the hope that the Aboriginals might start some sort of farming and agriculture. And when you know how dry and sandy that soil is, it's quite a funny story.
It is, tragically funny. Mm. And the Hayson Trail in South Australia. Now, what's that landscape like?
Oh, well, I just did the northern part of it, which is, you know, it's quite dry, but it's got beautiful river valleys running through these with white gums in them, running through these spectacular mountains. I think in a way it was very well known in the 1930s by the paintings of Hans Hayson, who went up there a lot, but he never painted
and
it when it was green.
Daughter too.
Yeah. Nora.
I've got a Nora Hayson. I think she's a beautiful painter.
And Horace Trenery was another South Australian artist, not very well known, who did beautiful paintings of the Flinders Ranges. Hayson, though, didn't like it when it was too wet and green. It actually does go quite green up there.
I think the only walk we haven't talked about is the Wilson's Prom trip in Victoria, which people rave about. Can you describe that particular bushwalk?
Well, I said in my story that if you were to set Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson in any place, I would set it in Sealer's Cove on Wilson's Promontory, because it has that feeling of dark mystery about it. It's quite like a high rainfall area and big steep mountains with a lot of granite rocks on the foreshores and big stands of gums. It was a very beautiful walk. In 2012, I think they had huge storms there, so there was a lot of scarring from where huge boulders had rolled down the hills into the valleys, and they've remade a lot of the tracks, so it was only recently it was reopened.
Right. Mm. Will you be walking somewhere this summer, Tom, or are you trying to lie on the beach?
No, I will walk somewhere. I haven't quite worked out where yet. I'd like to go further north at some stage, but you have to pick your time of year. So maybe I'll just do some walks down the south coast and in the Royal National Park in January.
I might add just that you do make the point that it's very, if you're going to be serious about it, you've got to let people know where you're walking. You've got to do your planning. You've got to have water. You can't just stumble into the Australian bush, can you?
Yes, I've said in my introduction that in Australia, when you walk, there's not a guest house at the end of the track with lights twinkling and a hot meal ready for you. You've got to really, really think ahead, especially about water and even the quality of the water these days. You know,
really.
I mean, they say there's giardia in water, so I have a UV gun I sterilise the water with, or people put tablets in it. So you've got to be careful.
Well, Tom, congratulations! It is really a beautiful book, and I think written for ordinary people, as it were, opposed to sort of, you know, paragons of virtue.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us.
No, it's been a pleasure.
Tom Carmont, a painter and writer, his book with photographs by Michael Wee is Seven Walks, Cape Leeuwin to Bundina, and it's distributed by New South.